Welcome to Absolute Truth Absolutely, the weekly podcast powered by LWYM and your host, Gio. If you're uncompromising in your search and preservation of the truth, you've come to the right place. Now here's your host, Gio, with Pastor Jesus Martinez.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition, a new edition of Absolute Truth Absolutely. This is your host, Gio. I am the youth leader of LWYM. And with me, as always, is my father and pastor of Living Word Church in Miami, Florida, Jesus Martinez.
Once again, Gio, thank you for the opportunity to share God's word with the people that are in tune with your podcast. And so I do appreciate the opportunity.
Excellent. And we love having you here. And we are officially in the Christmas season. It's probably one of my favorite times of the whole year. It gets people, I guess, more in tune with family and whatnot, even though it should happen throughout the entire year. I guess it kind of brings us back together and stuff. The only thing I don't like about it, and it's something that we have commented, you and I, is any athletic activity after work is very, very limited because of the sun going down at approximately 6 o'clock our time. In New York, it's worse.
And also, it's on a more serious note, that now people are even saying it's a better thing to receive than it is to give. And they twist the verse absolutely and completely.
Yeah. And that's specifically, I guess, part of what we want to talk today about. There's been a steady movement, a steady decadence in our society, especially moving towards socialistic concepts, which I guess what drives them are atheistic concepts. When you look at Marxism, when you look at Leninism, when you look at socialism, communism, all of these different dogmas, that they're similar, but they're pretty much the same bread and butter, just different manifestations of the same. They all have atheism in the very epicenter, in the core of them. And in order for atheism to have, or rather, to socialism and communism to have its full effect, you need to remove God from the center. And that's what we're seeing happening in our country. We see it in the lawsuits. We see it in the egregious, frivolous lawsuits that the ACLU puts forward and other entities, organizations, like atheistic organizations, like American Atheist, putting out billboards on a yearly basis trying to attack Christianity and attack the faith and the basis of our faith, Jesus Christ. This happens every year. And now, more than ever, it seems like it's become a standard now that during the Christmas season, they come out in a full-fledged attack against Christianity.
For me, Gio, the key word to understanding all of this is sterilization. Let me rewind a little bit now. Recently, I wrote an article where I asked, is it possible that someday in the United States of America, being Christian is illegal? It's an illegal activity. And I go on to showcase that even though there are no laws that specifically say it's prohibited for the people of the nation to be Christian, they are attacking and bringing into judicial play any and all things that we as Christians do. So therefore, they start sterilizing our faith. And by that, I mean the activities that showcase who we are and what we do. Slowly but surely, they're all being turned illegal. And this is a way of sterilizing. If you sterilize a man, if you sterilize a woman, they don't stop living, but they can't procreate.
Yeah.
So by doing what they're doing, they attack any and all things that we do. And it's the equivalent, it tantamounts to trying to. I don't think they'll succeed, mind you, because God has never left himself without a witness.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, it is what is happening. And so their attempts, as I see them, behind them, what moves them is the sterilization of the Christian faith.
Well, that's absolutely true. And you see it again, like we had mentioned previously, the ACLU and the frivolous lawsuits. You can't have a nativity scene in front of your house without somebody knocking down at your door saying, that offends me. And in reality, they use the excuse of, no, remember that our government, the way that it's designed, it's to be separation of church and state. And they say there has to be separation between the government and religion. But in reality, what they want is freedom from religion, not of it. There's a huge difference between from religion and of it. And this is what they strive for. We're talking about militant atheists.
I think in the simplest explanation, the founding fathers just wanted to make sure that the state never said, this is the state religion.
Yeah.
Let people freely worship. And so from that, which is my understanding of the law, to what we have today, it's ridiculous what is happening.
Well, it's a misinterpretation. And not only is it an obvious misinterpretation, but it's...
It's a calculated.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. It is a calculated one. Well, when you look at the letter that, and they always quote, atheists always quote the letter that Thomas Jefferson writes to the Danbury Baptists. The reason the Danbury Baptists write to Thomas Jefferson is because they were afraid that if the United States, the colonies and so on and so forth, were going to establish a government, that they were going to have more of the same of what they ran away from in Great Britain, that they had a church state, and this was the state-sponsored religion.
So it's intentional. It's miscalculated intentionally.
Exactly. And Thomas Jefferson writes back saying, no.
Or misinterpreted, I should say.
Yeah. And in essence, he's saying, no, that's not the point. The point is to establish a separation between church and state. In other words, that the state, the government, will not establish a religion. You can practice it. You can freely practice whatever religion you want to practice. The state is not going to endorse it. Now, this is totally different and making reference to what we were talking about earlier. There's this recent effort by the American Atheist, which is the organization that was founded by Madeleine O'Hare, the famous, and I would rather say infamous, atheist. This was a lady that she pushed vehemently for the expulsion revocation of prayer in public schools. And in her 1963 lawsuit, it was heard all the way up into the Supreme Court, Murray versus Curlett. Her real name was Madeleine Murray O'Hare. I think she changed it once she was divorced. And the Supreme Court sided in her favor, and from then on, it was prayer out of the public square, prayer out of the public school.
Yeah, the invocation at certain events, if the building or the land happens to be state-owned, county-owned, federally-owned, then, you know, you've got a whole set of issues that kick into place. And this is why I said, Gio, and I hate to stay on the same point, it seems to me that what they are trying to do is to sterilize any and all Christian activities. Yeah. And in their mind, if they accomplish that, then we can't multiply. People can't hear about us. We can't share our faith. We can't put out the things that we believe in this form or in that method. You know, there's all kinds of ways that they're looking to silence us. And one of the ways that they seem to think that it's effective is any and all outwardly, you know, manifestations of our faith. You know, let's cut that one out so they can't do that.
Well, look at the situation with... There was a bill that was passed months ago. I can't remember specifically the name of the bill. It was a military bill that was passed by President Barack Hussein Obama, and it was spearheaded by Harry Reid. And in it, in a military defense bill, they tucked away silently so that no one would find out. Only a few people were reporting this. Was the, if I'm not mistaken, don't quote me on this, I think I have this right, the Matthew Shepard and James B. Byrd Hate Crimes Act, which makes it illegal for certain people to speak out certain phrases that the government themselves or the authorities would deem as hateful against homosexuals. And then they categorized it in such a way, and they worded it in such a crafty way where they were arguing, no, preachers can go ahead and still speak out against homosexuality. That's their belief from the pulpit. And it's not true. It's like you're saying, it's a slow hammering away of Americans' civil liberties. We know about the preacher out in California who was preaching on a street corner to people in front of a California DMV. And the security guard of the place comes in, he says, don't worry about it. He calls the police, and when he asks the police officer, why am I being arrested? He says, for preaching. Well, I didn't know there was a law against preaching. Well, there you go. They're slowly chipping away at our civil liberties. Why? Because eradication of Christianity is their end game.
Something similar to that happened to a preacher in Atlanta, Georgia. It used to be that you could preach in a street corner, and the vendors, the owners of the businesses, wouldn't mind. Now, they've had their minds poisoned to the point where they say, we don't want you here. And you go like, why? What am I doing wrong? No, you're making our customers upset, and we don't need your rhetoric. And so I think it needs to be said, they have been successful to a certain extent, yeah, in eradicating from our society the things that we used to do that showcased our faith.
Well, let me give you an example of the way it used to be, because you mentioned that a preacher can go to a street corner and preach and people wouldn't mind. As a matter of fact, they'd flock. There would be huge masses of people flocking to listen to the gospel. Two very I guess outstanding individuals would come to mind. And the reason I say outstanding is because they were probably the people that begun the street preaching movement here in the United States. One of them was John Wesley, and the other one was George Whitefield. Now, some people might not agree wholeheartedly with their theology, but nevertheless, they were successful in presenting the gospel. And for example, George Whitefield was a man who would write very often to Benjamin Franklin. And even though Benjamin Franklin wasn't a Christian, he wrote down in one of his memoirs that when George Whitefield would speak, he would stand on the courthouse steps, and he said that he would back off to see how many people he could gather there at a singular moment. He said close to, according to his calculations, anywhere between tens of thousands of people would sit to listen to George Whitefield preach. And then he said that the effects of that were so great, he categorized it as religion. He says the effects of this were so great that you could not walk through a Pennsylvania town without listening to families and people singing psalms at night. So you see the effects of it, of how great this was happening. But again, you've got organizations, and the reason that I bring this up, the organization American Atheists, now they've been putting billboards, or putting up, they're sponsoring billboards up in different states, including our own in Ohio, also in New Jersey, which states the following. It says that people in these states, respective of where the signs are being erected, say, quote, no myths when they see them. In other words, they'll say millions of Floridians or millions of Ohioans, they recognize or no myths when they see them. And then it asks, quote, what do you see? End quote. And then they put four distinct photos. They put a statue of the god Neptune. Then they put a picture or a painting, a rendering, an artist rendering of Jesus. They put a picture of a man with a business suit on, with a satanic mask on, you know, representing Satan, and then Santa Claus. Obviously, the intent, we know what the intent is. We know what the intention is.
Jesus is also a myth.
Absolutely. Why would they put both of those? And the implication is very obvious. So, again, going back to your point, we've reached the Christmas season.
But you know what, Gio? I'm sorry to interrupt. Yeah. If you were to call the people behind this, they'll argue, oh, no, we're not saying anything. We just want people to think. Because they do things in such an astute, malicious way. Yeah. That they cover their hides this way. They would say, oh, no, you know, first of all, we are atheists. We never have hidden this. And number two, we just want people to think. So if this is what people think, if this is the conclusion that they arrived at, Jesus is a myth, hey, this is America, that's fine. But we know there are ways of saying things, and then there are ways of saying things. At least they should have the decency, if you will. But then again, decency is something that you learn, that you pick up from the Bible.
Yeah, you have to have God. Moral absolutes.
And so it'd be better if they would say, yeah, we're trying to turn your minds and hearts away from God.
Yeah.
And not these politically correct explanations that they give us. I'm sorry, I interrupted.
No, it's a good point and very well made. And just to reiterate, American Atheists, this is an organization that was founded by Madeline O'Hare, and we spoke a little bit about her. And then part of their mission statement, according to their website, anybody can find this, is, quote, to labor for the civil liberties of atheists and the total absolute separation of government and religion. But I have a few questions about that, because when you search the rest of their website, they post articles, all-out attacks on Christianity more than any other religion. We know that, yeah, they have contempt for certain other factions, you know, so there are certain other religions like Mormons and stuff, but their main thrust has always been against Christianity. And I have certain questions for atheists, and I think that we can uncover some of their motivations more than what we've spoken about previously in the last couple of minutes. Number one, if God doesn't exist, and atheists say that he doesn't exist, then what are they fighting against? Doesn't that strike you as lunacy? Because if you're fighting against something that doesn't exist, it's nuts. It's preposterous.
Why would they try to reason with people that, according to their own presentations and their arguments, even if it's not spelled this way, we have no use of reason because we believe in stuff that is not reasonable?
Yeah, well, that's exactly. That's the next point that I want to touch on. But before we go on to that, notice that they say religion is evil and has caused a lot of harm. A lot of atheists will say this. But this is where I always retort. Christianity is not a religion. It's a relationship with God. But if, of course, if you knew that, if you read your scriptures, but again, they don't. Now, back to your point. Here's the second question. If atheists are so respectful of individuals' rights, because they say they are, yeah, we don't mind people saying certain things, and we don't impose ourselves. Why do they continually fight to remove Jesus from the public square? I'm going to quote again from the American Atheist website. It says, quote, "We're respectful of the American people's individual rights to practice as they see fit, and this is in parentheses, equal to our rights to do the same," end parentheses. "But this does not mean we have to respect the decision. If you choose to ignore," that's contradictory. If they respect the individual's rights, now they don't respect the decision. Anyways, "if you choose to ignore logic and knowledge in order to believe in an invisible magic man in the sky, or Santa Claus for that matter, you've made a ridiculous decision. They both face us, and we're not going to pretend it's just another way of looking at things." Now, this is the definition of a contradictory statement. Correct me if I'm wrong. They say they respect your decision to practice your own religion, but in essence, what I see there is that they just don't want you practicing it in public.
Absolutely. And even rewinding a little bit further, to propose that Jesus is a myth is to be out of touch with your history, because historically, historians talked about Jesus. So when you're talking about tall tales and legends, you can't include Jesus in there, because it has been historically proven by historians that he did walk this earth.
But you know what they'll tell you, and I've heard this a million times, and so have you. Yeah, but people like Flavius Josephus and Tacitus, these were cohorts of the Roman Empire. You know, you've heard the arguments, the silly, egregious arguments once and over again. And this is where I say,
so a defeated military mind person, a person with ranking, talking about Josephus, is in cahoots with the Roman?
That's what they say. But this leads me to my next point, and I'm glad that we were mentioning it. Because now this new movement of what they categorize themselves as new atheists, the new atheists, are calling themselves free thinkers. Now, you tell me, I like to read between the lines. And this is something you taught me a long time ago. Sometimes when people are trying to say something, they mean something else. And that's why they try to carefully select their words, so certain people won't pick up on the original intent of what they're trying to say. Now, they call themselves free thinkers, but if we read between the lines, in essence, they're claiming that their logic is free from the contamination, quote, the contamination of religion and any mythical ideology. And that they're saying that, well, our minds, the way we rationalize, is the way that everyone should rationalize, because we're free from any mental defects or anything of the sort. My question is, if that's the truth, then why do they consistently and constantly quote Grandpa Darwin? That's all they do. Darwin this, Darwin that, evolution this, evolution that. They're always picking up books from people like Christopher Hitchens, and they flock to go listen to people like Richard Dawkins and Bill Maher and, of course, Madeleine O'Hare and all of these other people. I mean, come on. They're blaming us of something that they're guilty of.
One of the great things that happened with Josephus, and I see God's hand all over this, Gio, is the fact that he was defeated and then made to be a historian on behalf of Titus. And one of the things that makes all of this interesting is that a lot of the historians dare not say the truth while those generals, who some of them later on became emperors, were alive, because it could cost them dearly.
Yeah.
But in the case of Titus and Josephus, it's different, because he was there. You know, Josephus lived from 37 to 100 after death, and we know that the burning of Israel and the bringing down of the temple happened at 70 after death. And so it was chronicled right then and there. It wasn't like, yeah, I heard that a couple hundred years ago something like this happened. It was right then and there,
yeah.
And this mix of a Jew being the historian for the acts, first of all, of a Roman general who later on became the emperor, for me, it's the hand of God, so as to bring even more credibility to the things that Josephus wrote. And this is why it's important for the atheists to attack Josephus. They hide these details.
Yeah.
Because these things that I have just mentioned are historically...
Well, like you said earlier, it's calculated.
Exactly.
It's a calculated attack.
It's malicious.
Exactly. It's evil. Now, the last point that we want to make, and this is the last objection, we promise. I know that there's people's heads that are spinning with this, but why do atheists cover other atheists' heinous acts? I'll give you an example. Madeleine O'Hare, the founder of American Atheists, and you will not find this in any way, shape, or form on their website. and they will not admit to this because they know that she has a very shady past. We know that she was kidnapped in 95 and subsequently killed with a few of her children. Now, her son, William Murray, who becomes a Christian, he revealed after his mother's kidnapping the wickedness that abounded that she espoused. Now, this is a quote. He testified that she bragged to him when he was about 10 or 11 years old that she spent days, quote, in X-rated movie theaters in downtown Baltimore, end quote, and that she, quote, stole huge amounts of money. She misused the trust of the people. She cheated children out of their parents' inheritance. She cheated on her taxes and even stole from her own organizations, end quote. Now, this is a really exemplar atheist.
Was she fleecing her flock?
But you see what I'm saying? That's a great point. But you see what I'm saying is that they cover for her. It's like you're saying, it's malicious. They cover her tracks because they don't want people to know that an atheist cannot live by any sort of moral code because what? They're atheists.
So here she is defending us, protecting us from religious people, from religious thought, from the farce, the fallacy that religion is. And she's doing the same thing that she was always talking about, how these pastors are fleecing the flock.
Even her own, to her own people, because that's what the son said. She was doing it to her own people. She would open up organizations.
That's why I said, fleece the flock.
Exactly.
That's her flock.
Plunder and pillage. So then here we are. There are Christians, and I want to end with this, and I'll give you the final word. There are Christians that are sitting here, and many of the young people that listen to us, they have a lot of atheist friends that will try to confront them with these half-truths and deceitful lies, and they don't know how to respond. And I think that the first thing they need to do is they need to do their research on these organizations. They need to do their research on these famed atheists. But more so, if you can give our listeners a piece of advice during this Christmas season on being able to deal with those subtle attacks from atheists, and also at the same time to maintain, you know, the gospel sharing alive, even though what they want, atheists that is the contrary.
Well, practice what you know. I started this edition, this podcast, talking about sterilization. They want to sterilize our faith, any outward manifestation of what we inwardly believe. So if this generation is telling me, just say happy holidays, I'm not going to say happy holidays. I'm going to say Merry Christmas.
That's right.
And if they say, no, sir, it's happy holidays, I'm going to go, no, ma'am, no, sir, it's Merry Christmas.
That's right.
Because I refuse to be sterilized.
That's right.
And this is why, Gio, I know I've been mentioning it for the last 20, 22 minutes. We need to be aware of what they are doing. And in my mindset, the way I'm seeing things, what they want to do is sterilize our activities and the things that showcase our inward faith so as to silence us.
Well, and that's the thing. The worst thing that a Christian can do, especially a Christian, can do is stay silent.
And I went to the smallest of examples because you know that it's very popular now to the point where some of the main stores are telling their employees, just say happy holidays.
Right.
Refrain from Merry Christmas. So once again, who is disappearing in all of this?
Yeah.
Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
Why? Because they want no mention of our faith. They want no mention of our Lord. So, you know, the listener can take it to the next level.
Yeah.
So, I, you know, in following your petition, I just went through the very simplest of examples that we have in our society today. Happy holidays? No, sir. What do you want from Santa Claus? No, sir. Merry Christmas. And I've told you guys since, you know, you and my daughter, since you were toddlers, there is no Santa Claus.
That's right.
And then there's that group that said, oh, you're being abusive with your kids. And even Christian teachers, but I'll leave that for another podcast.
Yeah.
I always told you guys, the Lord has blessed your mom and your dad. And so we want to give you something that'll help you remember that one day our Savior was born.
That's right.
And he came for the specific reason of redeeming us. And what would you like to receive that would help you remember this? And we were, you know, truthful about this. Yeah, but, you know, it wasn't on the 25th of December. Listen, I know, but I will not help those that have the intention of sterilizing our faith accomplish their goal.
Absolutely.
So even though I know all the things that have been said about Christmas and, you know, I don't even want to get into that. I will not help them sterilize.
Yeah.
our faith. I won't help them.
Good piece of advice and a great way to end the podcast. I want to thank you for being with us once again. If you have any questions or comments that you'd like to direct our way, please check those to our inbox, info@lwym.org, info@lwym.org. Until the next edition, until the next time, may the Lord shine his face upon you.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you have any questions, comments, or suggested topics for future shows, send them our way to info@lwym.org. That's info@lwym.org. Visit our website in order to download past episodes and subscribe to our free email updates. The web address is www.lwym.org/ATA. This has been Absolute Truth Absolutely. Absolute truth in a world full of uncertainty.